Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletail from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics. Today I'm joined from Lima, Peru by someone I met in Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates, Tony Joy. Tony is the Senior Director for Internal Audit Transformations at Empower Audit. Tony, thank you for joining us, and it's really great that you're able to make time for us on your travels.
Sure, thanks for having me.
So we're going to talk today, as we discussed, about some interesting experience you've had, which is taking a small to medium-sized company that didn't have a compliance program but saw the need for one, and you know, helping set that up for them. So I think my first question is, when is the time for a small to medium-sized company to start committing to having a full-time compliance officer with a full program as opposed to sort of cobbling together the responsibilities?
I would say right now, today. So no, I mean, you know, the real answer is sooner rather than later. Of course, it certainly depends upon each individual organization has their own unique risks and profiles. But the sooner an organization, regardless if you're small or you're medium sized, the sooner you can start focusing on looking at implementing and putting in place a formalized compliance program, including an individual who may be ultimately responsible, calling them a chief compliance officer or compliance director, what you will. Better to start that now rather than wait. The environment today, enforcement, new legislation coming out across the globe, now is the time to do that, not wait until you have a knock at the door and it might be some sort of a law enforcement official starting to ask questions about your organization. So I think don't wait. My suggestion would be you don't necessarily wait until you reach the point where you can then have a one full-time dedicated headcount towards it. I think consideration of a phased implemented approach spread out over time would be the ideal way to start this, particularly for smaller and mid-sized organizations.
So when would be, what are some of the steps a company should take to start going down this road to establishing the program?
Sure. A number of things come to mind right away. First and foremost, I think most important is you need the executive or senior leadership buy-in. This is not something that someone in the middle level management should just decide, hey, I'm going to do this on my own. I'll take the initiative and try to roll out a program like this. This is something that you want to make sure board or senior leadership team, CEO, CFO, and certainly people in operations and sales are not likely they're going to be enthusiastic about this, but at least that they understand the need is there and it's coming from the top. It really is about tone at the top and the overall organizational culture. And this is involving communications and the receptiveness by the business. So that I think is foremost and primary. Secondly, I would say is try to get some help. Again, small, mid-sized organizations, you probably don't have a lot of bench strength. You don't have people just sitting around with not much on their plate. So to try and just identify someone out of the gate and say, you take this on, they probably don't have the skill set or the bandwidth to do that. I would say get some help, whether that is within your organization, maybe two or three people team together to form a committee to get this started. You go to outside organizations. Certainly there's consulting firms that can help, but there's also organizations like the SCCE that can certainly help. They're great resources. They can provide you some sort of guidance. And then I would also say, once you have that, once you have a commitment, once you start the process, probably the first thing that you should be looking at is some sort of a overall risk assessment or a gap analysis. Make sure that you understand what your exposure is, where your risks lie, whether they're geographic risk, industry type risk, some specific regulatory risk. You need an inventory of that so you know what you're going to start looking at. That'll help you start prioritizing. Because again, we're probably not talking a big bang where you a turnkey operation. This is more like a phased approach over a period of weeks or months that you're going to start to roll this out.
So, and as you go down this, you know, days, weeks, months of doing this, are there any pitfalls that you see people falling to? Obviously, not having the tone at the top and the support is a huge one. Are there any other common mistakes you've seen as you've worked with organizations trying to develop programs?
Sure. I've seen a number of both domestically within the U.S. and I've helped with clients establish these overseas, and I've worked myself with multinationals. As you mentioned, the first and foremost, as I mentioned on the last question, is make sure you have some level of commitment or tone at the top. Again, it's unrealistic to expect that they're going to be overly enthusiastic about this. Everybody knows it's a necessary evil, but generally most organizations will embrace this. And if you don't, if you're in an organization where they don't embrace it and it's something that's seriously frowned upon, that should be a red light to you as a compliance professional in the first place. But I would say, as I alluded to before, have realistic expectations. You can't, especially if you're a small or mid-sized organization, you're going to likely have a very limited budget. You can't expect in one fell swoop to turn the key and have a world-class organization that competes with, you know, a multi-billion dollar global enterprise. A lot of those large organizations have dozens, if not hundreds, of people dedicated to compliance. So be realistic about what your expectations are, and be realistic about how you're going to do that. When you have unrealistic expectations, I've seen that usually be a big, big pitfall. Also, another speed bump, so to speak, that people get into is a lot of times organizations, because I alluded to, they're on a shoestring, they'll turn to somebody within the organization who maybe has a little extra time or has some knowledge to this, and they'll just throw it on their plate. The biggest challenge that I usually see organizations after the lack of commitment is assigning it to the wrong person, and then that person just trying to fuddle through and figure it out. Yes, I indicated before, there's plenty of resources that you can turn to, read books and magazine articles. But at the end of the day, there are so many organizations that are dedicated to helping companies put this in place. Take the time, energy, and effort and reach out to them and get somebody with some knowledge and expertise to help you. Don't just try to wing it on your own, because in fact, you can actually do more harm to your organization than good. For instance, if you design world-class policies and procedures, which you can certainly download off the internet, and you roll those out and put them into place, but it's not properly launched, there isn't an awareness campaign, there isn't training, and nobody follows those procedures, and 2 years later, there's some sort of a violation. When the investigators come in and realize that you actually have policies and procedures and you're not following them, and they haven't been trained to them, you're likely to get a bigger slap on the wrist than if you didn't have a program in place in the first place. So just avoid that. Just make sure you have an expert or somebody who's at least well-versed in this and has the bandwidth to try and do it, as opposed to people just doing it on the side or with 5% of their time.
Yeah, it's funny as you're talking about that issue. I mean, it's one of the things that consistently we hear from prosecutors and others is, you don't want to have policies and procedures if you don't plan on enforcing them. And it's also one of the reasons why, you know, when we look at the curriculum for our SEC Basic Compliance and Ethics Academies, policies and procedures is there, but it's not what the course is. It's about that in right. context within the whole program. Now, you've talked a bit about, you know, dumping this just on somebody's plate to do. One of the questions a lot of organizations face as they get to the point where they really are ready to have somebody to lead the program, potentially on, as a full-time person, there's the debate of, do we have somebody inside who knows the organization but maybe doesn't have the compliance experience, versus do we go outside, bring in somebody who's got the expertise, maybe doesn't know us as well? Where do you feel on that spectrum is the best place to be?
Great question. Very relevant question. You're right. I encounter this frequently. Organizations, and again, small and mid-sized organizations, they're going to encounter this 9 out of 10 times. They just don't have the bandwidth to say that, you know, we can do this and we don't have a lot of bench strength to pull from. Ideally, it would be a mix of both. You certainly want to have someone from inside the organization that's familiar with the business, knows the business model, knows who's who, and that would help facilitate rolling a program out. But at the same time, assuming that individual doesn't have a lot of compliance experience or formal knowledge, yeah, then you're tempted to go outside and bring somebody from the outside in who can bring that. So, you know, again, that depends on the individual organization. I think a lot of that is culturally. Some organizations prefer to just move people up the ranks and they're a bit resistant to outsiders. If that's the case in your organization, then I would say, sure, try and find someone in-house and have them partner, maybe get some part-time consulting or some outside assistance, but let the internal person who certainly knows the organization drive that. Other organizations might, for appearance sake, for effectiveness, want to have a shock value to the organization and say, look, we're bringing somebody in from the outside, high profile figure, someone with a lot of experience, and they want to drive that. And then I would say, to the best that you can, try to partner them with someone who is a legacy person within the organization that can help them get up to speed. Again, no one right or wrong answer. All of these always come back to the individual organization. No two organizations are mirrors. So a lot of that just comes down to the organization and what's going to work best for them.
Well, that's good advice because, you know, in truth, you know, if the program isn't really based on what the organization is about and what its risks are, it's never going to be quite as effective. So I think it's fair to say the answer is it depends on what works best for your organization. Well, Tony, thank you again for taking the time to talk to us all the way from Lima today. Thanks to all of you for taking the time to listen in. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA saying I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspective.